church, if we could stand at this time, we could just open with prayer and just channel our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts towards God, and just let allow the Lord to flow in this place. And I personally don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want nothing in my heart, my mind, to stop the flow that God desires to do in this place. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence in this place, Lord. We desire you, Lord. We don't desire a cookie cutter or any kind of, Lord, just an ordinary Sunday morning service or Sunday school service here, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. But we desire you, Lord. We desire your power and your presence, Lord, to move and to do what you desire to do this morning in this place, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you want to do so much more, Lord. May we take the limits off of our heart and our mind here, Lord, the next few minutes, Lord, and just let you have your will and your way. May your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name, on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord. May heaven come down here right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, and your perfect will be done personally in every heart and every mind and every life here today, in Jesus' name, as we fix our thoughts and our hearts towards you right now, in Jesus' name.
You in my life. worship you today. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Draw me close to you.
Oh,
this scripture came to my mind. It was that first song, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we truly desire to draw close to God, he's going to draw close to us.
Yes,
and
will.
So much can be accomplished that way. There's so much that he desires to accomplish in my life personally and us collectively. If I love him with my whole heart, with my everything, we put ourselves in a position for God to do something that he desires greatly for, for him to do in us and through us and in this place. And it's just lining ourselves up. If I want to be in a place where I want God to bless me, I need to be right smack dab. He says, if you stand and you position yourself for me to bless you, I will bless you. But if I choose on my own will and my own being to be somewhere else and say, God, bless me over here, and he says, my presence isn't even over there. It's not your will, my will for you to be over here. I want you to be right here. I want you to be in the center. I want you to line up your heart and your mind to me, towards me, and I can do and accomplish great things in your life.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This latter-day outpouring, this what God wants to do in and through us, I don't want to miss. I don't want to take for granted any given Sunday for him to do something.
Yes.
The time is way too short. I was in a nursing home. Some of you went to a nursing home last night and did some caroling. I was in a nursing home just not too many years ago, and I heard this lady, she began to speak in tongues. After she got done speaking in tongues, she goes, the time is too short. And that was years ago. Think about how much more short the time is now than it was a few years ago. And I heard this lady, I don't know if she's even still alive today, but the time is short. I do not want to waste this Sunday for God to do something.
Yes.
That means I'm going to love him with my whole heart, with my mind and my strength.
I
want God to accomplish great things in our lives together, on us individually, in Jesus' name. When we are lined up like that, anything can happen. God can move greatly in our lives.
Yes.
And that when we do that, we put ourselves in a position, when God does do what he wants to do, we are going to be very responsive to that. And I want to respond to what God desires to do. When he speaks, Lord, this is your servant. I will do what you want me to do. I am willing, because if my whole heart's into it, if my whole heart is towards him, I'm just going to be, Lord, be it unto me according to your word, whatever it may be. Whatever the word of the Lord is today, I want to be responsive to it in Jesus' name. This morning's lesson is on leadership and God's voice, and this is a good one. I'm going to read the text, and after I read the text, I want to ask Brother Johnson to pray for the next few minutes. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and it says, and it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but I have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore, thus thou shalt say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before me, and have made thee a name like the name of great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them away any more, as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I will tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house, and it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me in a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not forsake my mercy away for him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established evermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Brother Johnson, would you pray? Amen. You can be seated at this time. I don't know if too many of you heard of the name Nona Freeman. She was a matriarch here in the Pentecostal movement in the last 100 years. She was 11 years old when she received the Holy Ghost, and she received it lying flat on her back when she began to speak in tongues for the very first time. She also received a vision from God that she was preaching in the African language. Over 8 years, Nona's dreams were a lot about Africa and the call to the mission field. At 19, Nona answered the call and married E.L. Freeman, and the two became missionaries to Africa, and they were there for 41 years. It was in 1989 that Freeman's returned to minister in the U.S. This woman wrote over 20 books, and after her husband passed away, she traveled and continued ministering to men and women everywhere she went. God outlined every detail in her childhood until he took her home in December of 2009. It was for hundreds of years, people believed Aristotle when he said, the heavier the object, the faster it would fall to the earth. He was regarded as the greatest thinker of all time. And nobody took it upon themselves to take two objects, that one heavy, one heavier than the other, and go at a substantial height and drop them off. But people believed that because he was known as a great thinker. So it wasn't until 1589 that Galileo summoned professors at the base of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Then he went up to the top and pushed off a 10-pound and a 1-pound weight. Both landed at the same time. But the power of everybody else's belief, these professors, was so strong that professors denied what they saw, and they continued to still say that Aristotle was right. God put laws into place, both natural laws and spiritual laws, therefore our benefit, therefore our covering, and they're not for us to beat us over the head with, but they're us to guide us. And God has structure. He has seasons that we experience, and they're consistent in nature. We're going into wintertime, and after that we go into spring, and then the summer into fall. And God is consistent with the laws of nature, and he also is consistent with spiritual laws also. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. And to ignore these laws is to invite trouble in our lives. To ignore laws that we have daily, to say, I'm going to go to my own speed limit, and I'm going to take whatever I want off the shelf, and I'm not going to pay for it, I'm going to do whatever I want to, it just invites trouble for our lives. In Romans 13, it says, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. That they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. You set yourselves up for trouble when you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, according to my own thoughts and according to my own emotions. When we do that in the natural realm, we invite ourselves to trouble. And anybody with that respects laws of nature, you're going to distance yourself from a lot of people with a lot of common sense. If you want to show that you don't have a lot of common sense, you go ahead and live that kind of life, and you're going to get a lot of people that are going to stand within a good arm's length from you. But if you carry that over into the spiritual realm, and you're going to say, I'm going to do what I want to do spiritually, I'm going to do what I want to do in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to do it how I want to do it, because I feel compelled by God to do this, and you don't respect the spiritual chain of command, you're actually going to be building your own kingdom, and that kingdom is going to come to pass. That kingdom is going to come to nothing, because God outlined for all of us to understand and respect spiritual laws also that he put into place. Nehemiah himself, he had this desire that God gave him to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, but he could not do it unless he first had the right temperament and the right mindset to go through the proper channels. It's in Nehemiah 2 and 5, it says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. First of all, I need to go to the person in authority over me, and I need to have the right heart and right mindset to do this. And you know what? I've learned to have the right heart and right mindset when God has placed somebody in spiritual authority in my life, no matter who it is, that it takes an effort on my part to maintain that proper heart and that proper mindset. Because if I allow human nature to just kind of slip in and to say, I'm going to do things the way I want to do it, because we're going to let the world kind of rub off on us, and the world has that mindset to do what they want to do and how they want to do it, we got to make sure that we brush that off. And that's one of the great benefits and the importance of us to get together as a church body like we do, to brush that kind of mindset off of us. We need to brush the world off of us so our light can shine even brighter. if you have a lamp that is full of dust, it's going to look like it, there's a dimmer switch on it. But if you keep that glass shining polished, you're going to keep shining brighter. And that's the same in the spiritual realm. It's my obligation, it's my responsibility to have the right heart and mindset. And I've been tested, and I'm sure some of you have too, seasoned saints, that when somebody in authority has said something, and you're like, man, I don't feel right about that, but you know what? God put that person in authority, and if it's contrary to the word of God, that's the only exception to not do something. But if it's in will of God, and God placed upon that leader to ask you to do something, it's my responsibility to be obedient and to be submissive to do it. And that's the key, and that's the mindset for every one of us. If we're going to call our pastor a pastor, if you're going to say, I have a pastor and I have a spiritual leader in my life, then you have to say, I am going to be submitted to that person in leadership in my life. Otherwise, he's just a good preacher, and everybody can hear good preaching. We can get on the YouTube, we can get on the TBN, and we can hear good preaching whenever we want. Well, there's podcasts, you can hear some amazing tear down the house kind of preaching, but you need a pastor in your life. And to have a pastor in your life, it's your responsibility to be submitted to that person in authority. God wants to do so much more in every one of our lives, but it's that mindset. Nehemiah didn't have a chance in the world to go build that without talking to the king and without having the going through the proper channels to talk to him and say, if it pleased the king, and he asked permission. He didn't say, you know what, God told me to do this, I'm going to do this whether you like it or not. He would have shot that thing down right there because he had his sovereignty too as a king, and he could have told him, nope. And you know what God could have said? He could have said, you know what, your heart and your mind, I gave you a burden to do this, but because of your attitude towards authority, you just totally diminished your opportunity. I'm going to have to go use somebody else to do this. Nehemiah, I'm going to have to push you aside because you didn't have the heart right mindset. You weren't submitted to authority, and now I need to go get somebody else. I don't want to be in that position where God says, I look upon you, and I want to use you, and I want to do a work through you. But to do that, to get to the next level, to get to where places you haven't been to yet, I need you to honor and to respect authority, spiritual authority, authority. I need to respect my boss. I need to respect people in authority in my life, no matter where I am, because if I'm going to let my light shine, I need to honor him in the workplace. Otherwise, I'm a testimony. Am I going to be a hindrance to the kingdom of God? Am I going to be a hindrance to what God has invested in my life? Or am I going to be an asset? Am I going to not just be an asset and work hard, but am I going to have an attitude to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do when you walk away? But I need to be obedient to him and to be submitted to him because he's a man of authority in my life. And that carries over to the spiritual realm. We need pastors. We need people of spiritual authority in our life. And we need to allow ourselves for them to be leaders in our life. God will speak through us through his word and through prayer and through devotions and moments of meditation. But he also speak through leaders because God is sovereign. That's just the way he's going to do it. David had a desire to build a house for the Lord, and his passion and expression was deep. And he had a love for God. He wanted to do this. I'm sure he told other people around his kingdom and his advisors, this is something that I've always wanted to do. Even Nathan himself said, go ahead and do it if it pleased the Lord. But Nathan got a word from the Lord, and David didn't get this word from God, but God used a spiritual leader in David's life to get this word from God. And this is just an example. David's thoughts were, I'm living in a cedar house, and the ark of God is in a tent. First, David would tell Nathan, go ahead and do it. Then he went and got alone with God. And that's what spiritual leaders do. They get alone with God to hear the voice of God, not only for them, but for the people that God has entrusted them to be in their lives. It says, after speaking with David positively regarding his desire to build the house of the Lord, Nathan went home that night, and God would speak vividly to Nathan regarding David. God got specific with somebody, with David. And in verse 3 and 4 it says, and it came to pass that same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. There was no room for doubt. David, you're not the one to be doing this. And David could have had this mindset to say, you know what, I'm a king of Israel. I could do what I want to do. I have people in authority. I'm a man of authority, and nobody's higher than me. But for him to be where he is, he had to submit himself to the highest authority. And God was able to fight his battles that way. To be submitted like that, he went from victory to victory. He consulted God. God, when can I attack? When should I attack? And God told him, because he submitted himself and he waited patiently for the Lord for direction in his life. And God took care of every enemy and every obstacle in his life. In 1 Chronicles 28, 2 and 3, it reads, "Then David the king stood up on his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house to rest the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build me a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and of bloodshed.'" God made it clear the reason. God doesn't always have to give us a reason to tell us to do what he wants us to do or not to do. But he did give him a reason. It's because of that relationship with him. But God did not speak to David in prayer that night before. But the man of God spoke to David. And that's just the chain of command. That's the realm of spiritual authority that God has structured in the church. And I totally lost my place here. Be careful how you touch your iPad. Nathan was the one that delivered God's mail, and it was his responsibility to do nothing more or nothing less. Nathan was responsible to bring forth the word to David, but it was David's responsibility in how he received the word and how he responded to it. He could have been envious. He could have been resentful. He could have been angry at God. He could be angry at the messenger of God and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. But because he was submitted, because he had this mindset, be it unto me according to your word, that's how God used him greatly. And it's just having that proper mindset. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, as they that must give an account, for that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." It is very unprofitable for you to do anything that you want to do according to how you do it, because it's just going to waste away. It's going to wash away like sand on the seashore. You're not going to advance the kingdom. You're going to try to advance your own kingdom, and it's not going to get anywhere. You're not going to see any fruits or any benefits from it. You're going to basically waste your time, because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to waste my time. There's only so much time I have left to walk on this earth. There's only so many breaths that God has given me to breathe, and I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste a moment. That's why I never want to waste an opportunity when I come to the house of God, because I don't want to miss something. I've been to church services where I've gotten distracted, where somebody said something, and the enemy comes in to try to steal, kill, and destroy. It could be your mindset. It could be your heart that was focused on what God may have for me to receive, and I get distracted, and I'd be totally robbed of that. I want to be so focused and so single-minded that no matter what happens, no matter what phone call I get or what has happened before church, when I walk through these doors, I want to receive and to respond what God has for me today. He has something for me specific last Sunday, but he's got something very specific for me today. And I want to be ready to respond to it. I want to be ready to receive it, because I need it, because he knows what's best for me. He was contrite, he was humble, and he was grateful. He was a king of Israel. He had people in authority in his life that he that would do what he would tell them to do. But when the man of God spoke in his life, he responded to it. He was obedient to it, and he was submitted to it. What a great example. David was not able to build the ark, but he was able to help facilitate it. He was able to help get these materials together for his son Solomon to do this. I may never be allowed to go to the mission field, but I can contribute financially. I may never be able to paint or do any physical labor to the church, but I could make a meal or something for the people working and laboring in the church. And there's as long as I have that mindset, we are able to do things together for the kingdom of God. There is nobody in this church that can't do something for God. We can be supportive of the ones that are able to do things for the kingdom of God. Maybe I'm not able to stand up here, and or you're not able to stand up here and speak this morning, but you know what you're able to do? You're able to pray and stand in the gap for the one that is coming up here. Intercessors are so valuable for the kingdom of God. And don't underestimate the value of a praying person, because they are able to do things in the spiritual realm that you can't see with these eyes. There's a certain temperament. There's a certain atmosphere. There's something that could be in this place, this very moment. And an intercessor is able to have that sensitivity and pick it up and pray for that and stand in a gap, and that could be totally abolished. And God's able to continue to move. That's the power of an intercessor, to just keep coming and standing in the gap and be sensitive. If you're not able to stand up here, and God hasn't called you to stand up here, where you are, you're able to be spiritually sensitive enough to pray for what God is doing in this place when people can't see it, even when people can't feel it. You may feel something that nobody else feels. God may lay that upon your heart and mind and your spirit to take that to prayer at this very moment. If it's not at this very moment, it could be the next hour. Whatever it may be, it's all about having a submissive spirit. And that is so key. And having a submissive spirit is my responsibility to maintain continually, because we're going to get checked on our spirit. We're going to be tested at times. But I want to pass, and I want to move forward. I will never move forward unless I pass the test that God has for me at any particular moment. He'll say, let's do this again. I'm going to have to put you in the wilderness. We're going to have to walk around. We're going to wait till this comes full circle again. And then I could take you to somewhere else. I could take you to another dimension. I could take you to where I want you to go. God has so much lined up and planned for us throughout this life. And it's how I respond to it. It's how I respond to him during each obstacle, during each test and each trial. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to stay here when he says, I want you way over there? And I want to pass test after test. I want to go from victory to victory in every area that he has for me in my life. He knows right where we are, but he sees things from a different standpoint to say, keep following me. I have places for you to go. There's things I want you to do. It's your responsibility to have that heart, right heart and mindset continually. And I will continue to do work in your life and through your life. Be submitted to the spiritual authority, and I will continue to use you and bless you and do a work through you. Obedience is an express response to anyone in authority in our lives, even when we don't understand the reasons behind their instructions. 1 Samuel 15 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. This is Saul being spoke to by the prophet of God, saying, you did what you wanted to do according to your own mindset and the way that you thought was best. And because of that, I'm going to remove you and replace you with somebody else. I don't want ever God to say that to me. I don't want ever a man of God to come up and say, you know what, I can't use you anymore. I'm going to have to set you aside. The plans that I had for you were great, but because of your mindset, because of your heart, because of your unsubmissiveness, I can't use you the way that I want to use you. That's on me. That is on me daily. I don't understand why some people are so slack towards godly wisdom and advice and instruction. But I do think that because they don't have a healthy fear of God, and because they're unsubmissive, that keeps them from moving forward in the kingdom of God. And in Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. When I receive a word from the Lord, and it's not really what I wanted to do, and it's not really what I wanted to hear, but I needed to hear it. David says, my mindset is, I'm going to praise him anyways. I really wanted to build a house for the Lord, and I'm kind of crushed by this at the moment. And I'm just going to, glory be to God. That was my heart's desire for years. And I had put things into place. I put material I set aside. I started gathering things. But you know what? I'm going to be supportive, because God says that this is going to happen. Just because I'm not going to be the one to do it, and the next generation is going to do it, I'm just going to be supportive. And we can do that. we can be supportive in every way possible. God has given pastors to watch over our souls. In North American culture that we live in, many people have developed an independent spirit that resists correction and instruction from anybody. To be your own person and to look out for number one is very foolish and dangerous in the spiritual as well as in the natural realm. Authority is not only for our benefit, but it's for our protection. It's true, pastors are human like anybody else, and they can fall prey to temptation. But unless their instructions directly contradict the word of God, we are accountable to heed to their counsels and to respect their guidance in our lives. It was a Roman centurion that came to Jesus desiring him to heal one of his servants who was suffering at home. And Jesus had this, he perceived this man's exceptional understanding of authority. And it's in Matthew 8, chapter 8, and verses 7 through 10, it says, "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not none, in Israel." This is a man that was a man in authority, but he was also submitted to authority. Jesus recognized the man's grasp on the value of authority. He didn't boast about being a man of authority, but he was a man under authority. In other words, the only thing that gave him authority over others was he himself was subject to the authority that was in place over him. The structures and authorities and functions are like protective shields and umbrellas over every one of us, in the natural realm as well as in the spiritual realm. God's authority is not a club to threaten anybody, but an umbrella to shield and protect every one of us. With pastors, God protects and guides them as they protect and guide to counsel those under their authority. Pastors are responsible to hear from God and equally responsible to share God's word to those who look to them for leadership. 1 Peter 5 reads, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but..." Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, feed the flock of God which is among you, and taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a great weight and responsibility it is to be a spiritual leader and to have spiritual leaders in our lives. It's a weight that most of us can't describe. That's why it's important for us to stand in the gap and to pray for our leaders. It's important for us also to encourage our leaders, to look at the qualities and the fine qualities that we see in them daily and weekly, and encourage them and build them up. We don't realize the spiritual attack that they have when nobody else is around. And it's us as a church body to as individuals and us collectively to encourage spiritual leaders in our lives. I'm getting towards the end of this message, if we could stand. It seems so reckless for a person to ignore natural warning signs and risk his or her life, but many people ignore the spiritual warnings of those in authority over them. It's our personal responsibility to heed to these words of our pastors and spiritual leaders. They care for our souls. They are given an account to God for their leadership given to us. On the other side of this, we are given an account to God on how we respond to the spiritual authorities in our lives. If we're responsible towards our response, and it takes effort to maintain that submissive spirit. And every day, it's going to take an effort to invest. We need to invest in ourselves and what God has done for us, that his investment in you and I may pay off. That's the end of the lesson this morning. I hope that you got something good out of it. It's about us. It's about us and how we respond to those in authority in our lives, the spiritual authority, to honor, to respect him. And when we're lined up with God's will and his way, whatever the spiritual authority, a man of God in our life, no matter who it may be, it's going to be so easily. When I love the Lord God with all my heart and with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength, and I truly want to draw closer to him, when we hear a word from the Lord, from the spiritual leaders in our life, from our pastors, it's going to be so easy to do what he asks us to do. And if he asks us not to do something, it's going to be so easy to do it. If I just love the Lord God with my everything. If we could take a moment for the next session and we could gather around and pray. If you want to pray at your seat, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, church, if we could stand. Before we get started in service today, let's just usher God's presence into this place. Last week we had an unbelievable service. Let's continue that into this service. So just pray unto God, you know, move in this place, soften our hearts, give us a message, and let us walk out of here changed.
Oh,
price of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid, Jesus, for our freedom. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you are worthy.
In this place, it is moving. It doesn't just come here and just drop in, but it's in here and it's active. And it's an active, it's something supernatural, something that you or I cannot explain with words. But God is right here, ready to move and do something for you specifically in your life. No matter what you may need, if you can just step out on faith, if you need a touch from the Lord right now, He is here to meet you at your very need. Let's worship the Lord. If you have a need in your body, if you have a need in your heart, your mind, if you haven't had peace during this holiday season, I encourage you, this church will pray for you right now, and you will leave differently before you came here in Jesus' name.